Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live. I'm glad you could join me. Today I have a really dynamic guest that's returning to Colombo Chronicles Live, and her name is Olympia LaPointe. And today Olympia LaPointe is going to honor Katherine Johnson's legacy that lives on, not only in the nation and the world, but also with Olympia LaPointe, because they have very many similarities and many things in common that she's going to explain to us. Katherine Johnson's legacy lives on with Olympia LaPointe, and she was a rocket scientist, and both ladies are rocket scientists. And, you know, that is an honor to know about the women in this nation who helped make America great. It truly is, and they should be honored. And many are not honored because they are unknown figures and unrecognized. But LaPointe, Olympia LaPointe, has created the Answers Unleashed, and she is on speaking tours, and she's going to tell us about some of the speaking tours that she will be on in our interview. And she talks, her talks are based on her two fabulous books, Mathophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fears and Become a Rocket Scientist, Even If You're a Female, and Answers Unleashed. And the second book, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain Power. And that's so important because we all have fears and we're all afraid of taking that step and or believing that we are able to become the rocket scientist or the professor or the mentor or the coach, whatever it is that your dream is. Sometimes we are stuck and we cannot move forward. Today, Olympia LaPointe will honor, as I said, the story of Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson was a NASA mathematician, and she was depicted in the movie Hidden Figures, and she died at the age of 101. She is hailed as the modern-day hidden figure by People magazine. An award-winning rocket scientist, Olympia LaPointe continues Katherine Johnson's legacy. And that is so important to honor our Americans. Katherine Johnson, the NASA mathematician, was depicted in the movie Hidden Figures. And that was produced, I believe, in 2016. And not only was she hailed as the modern-day figure by People magazine, she won many, many awards. Katherine Johnson was an American hero. She was a pioneering legacy, and she will never be forgotten. according to NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine, who wrote that on Twitter. Katherine Johnson was born on August 26, 1918. She was an African-American mathematician who calculated and analyzed the flight paths of spacecrafts for more than three decades within the United States NASA Space Program. Her work helped send astronauts to the moon. Johnson was one of a group of African-American women mathematicians at NASA who were celebrated in the 2016 movie, as I stated, Hidden Figures. So you can probably find that movie by Googling it. She received numerous awards and honors for her work, including the Presidential Medal of Freedom in the year 2015. In 2016, NASA named a building the Katherine G. Johnson Computational Research Facility after Katherine Johnson. That year, Margot Lee Shetterly published Hidden Figures, The American Dream, and the Untold Story of the Black Women Mathematicians who helped win the space race. And I bet you didn't know that, because I didn't know it until Olympia Lapointe pointed it out, and the media. And that was about the West computers, and that included Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson. The award-winning film Hidden Figures was based on the book and was released, as I said, in 2016, so you may want to Google it because that wasn't so long ago. And before we get started and enter into the world of authors and experts, I wanted to say how sorry I am, and I believe all of America is, and that we are praying for our fellow Americans in Tennessee who are struck by a horrific tornado. Many were made homeless, businesses were lost. And I know America and the government will be on this like yesterday, because it is so important to understand that when you are made homeless, you are also traumatized. Imagine having nothing. Imagine seeing your home in total shambles. Put yourself in the place of those fellow Americans who have been struck by a natural disaster. And then try to find a way to help them. I'm sure there are GoFundMe accounts right now that are seeking donations to help our fellow Americans in Tennessee, or you can call your city or your county or your state and ask them, or Tennessee, and ask them, how can you help? It's so important, because the trauma, and we don't think about that. We don't think about how it affects people mentally, and they are in survival mode. But this will all come down eventually. This will all start to melt. They will start to have a meltdown when they realize the reality of losing everything. So pray for our fellow Americans in Tennessee. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. But first we'll take a little break, and we'll be right back with Columbo Chronicles Live right here for you.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we are live. And we are going to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest, the dynamic Olympia Lapointe, rocket scientist for NASA. And today she wants to discuss and honor Katherine Johnson's legacy that lives on with not only Olympia Lapointe, but with American history. So let's just get started and let's say hello to Olympia Lapointe.
Hi,
Olympia.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show all the time. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And, you know, Olympia, you know, we always talk about you, but today you want to talk about Katherine Johnson's legacy that lives on. And but before we do, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and your background for those who happen not to know?
Oh, thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to be on your show. I am Olympia Lapointe. I am an award-winning rocket scientist. I have written several books now, and I help people understand the power of their brain and how to use their brain in a way that helps them overcome fear, find their life purpose, and create the scientific innovations that's needed here on this planet. And I do that through my TED Talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear, and through my book series, my first book, Mathophobia, and my second book, Answers Unleashed. And through that, I love helping people understand how to not only understand science, but understand how their brain works so they can find the answers that's in front of them. I definitely wasn't always trained to be a rocket scientist. Rather, I grew up in the middle of poverty in South Central Los Angeles, so close to it, and we had very little food to eat. And I knew that what was going to change my life was an education. And our mother made sure that she put us into schools where we had the opportunity for an education. However, it wasn't easy. And she had to fight to make sure that we had that opportunity. And in my TED Talk, I talk about how the gang violence in the area was very rough. And even in a fifth grade classroom when I was 10 years old, I couldn't escape that type of violence. And in my TED Talk, I talk about how I was slashed in the face and disfigured by a gang member at the age of 10. But that was a blessing because it gave my mother the opportunity to put me into a school across town where I was with genius students. And these genius students had the ability to understand how to apply all this advanced mathematics and science and areas of study in their schoolwork. And I got a chance to look at how brains work close up. And I, unfortunately, the stress of the situation was tough. I started failing algebra, geometry, calculus, and chemistry. But it was because, I know I laugh now because I launched rockets, but it was a great experience because I learned through tutoring, there was a teacher that brought us and offered us tutoring. Tutoring, I learned that I could fail and I could take it over and I could learn how my brain worked so I could later ace it. And I learned how fear worked in my brain and it worked in other people's brain, first with the mathematical fear, which I call mathophobia, and later on with the fear of finding answers, which I talk about in my Answers Unleashed book. And in that process, I learned to overcome my own fear, and then I went to California State University, majored in mathematics, graduated top of the class, and later was hired at the Boeing Company, where I helped launch 28 missions to space. And I'm honored because what I did in helping the space shuttle launch to space was almost exactly what Katherine Johnson did in the movie Hidden Figures. Now, I'm very thankful. My desk, where I used to sit, is now an exhibit over at the California Science Center in California here, Los Angeles. And it has all the screens and everything that we set up supporting mission control. And I love explaining not only science, but great inventors in science and people who are doing great things in science, so we can appreciate how brilliant minds work. And today I'm going to be talking about...
Sorry. That's really important because you just explained to our audience in a very articulate way how you came from a poor family and you were raised by your mother, and how you lived in a gang, gang-related environment, but how you also were failing in school because of your environment, but how people came along, tutored you, and helped you to become the person you are today. And I think that's a really important point, Olympia, that you're telling America that no matter where you live, no matter what your environment is, that you can pull yourself up by listening to other people and making the effort to be tutored and mentored and seek out that help and do whatever it takes to get beyond that lifestyle and move above it and become the person you are today. I think that's so important in today's world, because we see so many young people so depressed, and they truly believe that they need to be taken care of by the government. And I think your story is so important to young people that, no, you don't need to be taken care of by the government. You need to take care of yourself, and you can do it too. I think your message is super important.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Upon that. Thank you. Thank you. I truly believe that no matter what you go through, you can come out of it. And my mother always tells me, whatever you're going through is not going to last forever, but it's your job to figure out a way to get out of it. In my particular lifetime, I'm very thankful because I learned to use education as a way to be able to advance myself. And a lot of people who are listening may have been in that situation. They may have had very little money growing up. And I just want to tell you that you still have options in front of you. If you're still alive, you still can do great things. If you are a woman in a society in which you didn't have as much leadership as you would like or you're capable of being given, there's great news. You still have the ability to make a mark. If you are a minority person who is in a situation where it's not fair, great news. There's always a pathway for you in order to be able to provide your life purpose. And I'm very thankful because I did have help. I had people who mentored me. I also had governmental help in the form of scholarships. I think one of the best ways in which we can invest in the next generation is to fund for education, help people understand the different ways to be able to solve their problems and so they can create solutions. And for me, I'm very thankful because I, through life, I'm learning the tools to reprogram my brain from the inside out and to share how other people reprogram their brain. And I do that on my AnswersUnleashed.com website. And I talk about how science and faith together gives you an answer that's unleashed. And it's beautiful. And I love sharing my story because I am an example of many people who can learn to beat the odds.
Yes, and the other thing is that most females are not mathematicians, and, you know, they can do the basics, but when it comes to the higher levels of math, they get stuck, like me. and so, I think that's important to know that women can overcome those fears, even when it comes to higher levels of math, and move on in their careers just like you did. And, you know, speaking of that, I know you want to honor Katherine Johnson's legacy and keep it alive and encourage science and innovation for women and men too, which generally it is a man's world. And the technical leaders and today's youth you want to encourage as well. So are you keeping the legacy alive because of the similarities that you see between you and Katherine Johnson? And if so, what are some of the similarities and the differences?
Oh, that's great. Well, first off, everyone is different, and I am my own unique person. Katherine Johnson was her unique person. We all go through different experiences that shape our lives. And the reason why I'm so excited to share Katherine Johnson's legacy, because it's the exact same thing I do right now today. And Katherine Johnson was a mathematician for the NASA program, and she was a trendsetter because she was one of the first individuals, a part of the space race, to help place the first men on the moon. Now, this is an amazing feat for her because she was an African-American woman. Now, at the time during the space race, especially when she was in NASA, it was very rare, it was unheard of to have a woman who was a technical specialist, and it was unheard of to have a person who was a woman of color in an environment when there was Jim Crow segregation. But she used her brain power and she used her God-given talents to create mathematical models so people could launch to space. And she was actually, people don't know, she retired in 1986, and that was when Challenger happened. She was on the Challenger program, and she retired that particular year. And it was in 1998 later that I was hired into the Space Shuttle program, and I was directly using mathematics and science to prevent the explosion that happened in Challenger. Now, if some of our younger audience members don't know what happened, in 1986, the Space Shuttle exploded in midair, and it had astronauts die, and as well as the first teacher die in that particular flight. And it was the most horrific event because millions of people were watching it on TV. Well, after that, there was a big change in spaceflight, and it was safety and spaceflight awareness that was primarily the focus at that point. And I remember making a decision at 9 years old, I was going to be one of these people to help prevent that type of explosion from occurring. And later on, and it was so interesting, like 20 years later, I was sitting in the exact seat where I could help prevent that. And it was just a miracle that I had that opportunity. But here I was, it was almost 30 years later that Katherine Johnson first started in her role, and here I was in my role, and not that much had changed at that time. It was still very rare to see a person like myself, and now if you have people listening, I am a woman of color. And it was very rare to see a woman in a technical environment launching rockets, and it was very rare to see a person of color. And the reason why I am so excited about sharing the developments of Katherine Johnson is because she made it possible for other men and women, women specifically, not just people of color, but women specifically, to be able to come into the technical world and be invited to meetings and to share their knowledge for solutions. It's not just being an African-American person. It is being a woman in that type of situation. And I am very thankful because after I call it retirement, even though there's no such thing as retiring from space, retiring from rocket science. I've heard that once you're a rocket scientist, you're always a rocket scientist. But after I chose to leave the aerospace world, I decided to teach part-time as a mathematics professor, and I recognized that there were so few people going into math and science careers. It was shocking. And not only
wasn't Katherine Johnson one of the leaders in integrating students into science and education
in the educational
department?
Katherine Johnson was one, because she had to take advanced mathematical courses in order to continue her work at the company, the NASA is one that authorized her to take the classes at some of the local schools. And because of the fact that she had to take advanced classes at local schools, there were no other colored people in the classes. So she was one of the first that was present in breaking down the stereotypes that existed, as well as the laws that existed that kept Caucasian as well as people of color separated in the learning environment. So Katherine Johnson not only was a leader with breaking forth a door for women to be in the technical world, she also broke forth a door for people of color to be in technical and science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields in the education. And the education is what the prerequisite is for you to be able to go into these type of schools. She was also an educator. And I truly am thankful because it is because of her work that opened the door with advanced space trajectories that allowed us to go into Mars, as well as in 1986, she was one of the first people to create the mathematical models for space trajectories to Mars. People don't know that. She was one of the first people to write how to get to Mars.
Yeah, she wrote a textbook on space travel, right?
Yes, exactly. And she wrote a textbook on space travel, and she did the calculations for a trajectory on how to land on Mars. And her trajectory models are what was used in the mission control room that I was sitting in 30 years after she started in 1961 and on. What I was using were her mathematical models on launch windows.
So there's lots of similarities there, because she also, I read, helped the United States win the space race against Russia in the 60s, and that was huge. Where that space race was huge, was it going to be Russia or the USA as they competed against space travel back then?
Yes, in 1963, the Russian government launched Sputnik. And what Sputnik was an advanced satellite that traveled around the Earth, and its role was to capture pictures of different places on Earth. Now, this was a gigantic security threat to the United States. And the race was whoever could launch and put their equipment and put their surveillance on the moon was going to be the people that won the space race. The reason why the moon was such a big target was because the moon is technically a part of the Earth. It's part of its orbit. So the moon actually goes around the Earth. So when people would go to the moon, that's actually the highest ground possible. Recognize that. But it's actually the moon is a part of the Earth. And so when people would have this race, the United States put all their resources into building a infrastructure of advanced intel of people who could find the mathematical calculations. And they remind you, they didn't use computers. They used slide rules on calculating how to get to the moon. And it's so fascinating. When I was working as a rocket scientist, and I looked at some of the calculations, I asked, what were some of the calculations that allowed people to get to the moon? I literally saw the mathematics that was used and the way that people used the science in order to launch. And the way that they used it wasn't computers. They used log scales. Now, if anyone's familiarized with mathematics, what log scales does is it takes – it's the inverse of exponential explosions. And so what they did is they took the inverse of exponential explosions and found the logarithmic curve to it. And this logarithmic curve allowed them to find out the pathway inch by inch that allowed them to get over to the moon. And it was one of the most mathematical, brilliant ideas that existed and allowed every single one of the thousands and thousands of people that were recruited by the United States government to actually launch this vehicle. And as a result, Catherine, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, well, this goes right into your books about unleashing brain power, because that's exactly what these scientists had to do. They didn't have the computer technology we have today, so they were actually unleashing their brain power and using their brains to overcome these barriers, right?
Yes, yes. In my second book, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power, I talk about how when we're placed in a really tough, stressful situation, that's actually a ability for our brain to really unleash its power. And that sounds counterintuitive, but if someone is able to take the chaos from a situation and look at the situation as an opportunity for growth instead of an opportunity of being overcome, if they look at it as an overcomer, like they are an overcomer and they're going to find an answer in this particular problem, the brain literally rewires itself in a chaotic but organized way so someone finds answers in their life and they actually unleash their brain power. And I show this with my own personal story growing up. I show this with my mother's personal story, if you read that in the book. I share this with when I observe the different scientists working with them. It's that each one of us has the ability to rewire our brain at any age, at any age. And I show in the book, through mathematics, of course, that's my specialty, mathematics and science, that we have unlimited abilities to use our thinking in a way that's going to find answers and solutions in this life. And I was very proud to write this book, and it was aired at, and we had debut at California State University Northridge, where someone can watch the live lecture if they go to answersunleashed.com/live lectures. They can see the live lecture and find out all the science about how the brain unleashes its power.
Well, then let me ask you this. Today we have communist China, and then we have people in our own country who are attempting to suppress the brain, suppress thought, shut us up, keep us silent, and they even have these tracking devices now in communist China they're using, which I'm sure they may try in America, to silence Americans, which suppresses the brain power and suppresses your thoughts in your brain. So they're actually putting fear into your brain. So what do you think about those thought police?
Well,
versus the brain power.
I am an American. I'm very proud to be an American. I am a person who is most familiarized with the American way of culture. I did not grow up in other countries. I didn't grow up in China or Iran or Russia. I didn't do that. So my expertise would not be as strong as someone who is most familiarized with that environment. But what I do know is that when we have the ability to express ourselves in a unique way and be heard, we are then changing our brain. But the most important thing is acknowledging how to hear yourself. And this is what I write about in my third upcoming book. And this is my third upcoming book is Answers Unleashed 2, The Science of Attracting What You Want. It's that it doesn't matter other people who hear you. You have to express yourself so you hear yourself. When you can listen to yourself, when you know what it is that you're feeling, when you know what it is that you're thinking, when you know that what you are creating, what goes through your brain is important and you are paying attention to it, that observation in itself rewires your brain so it connects. When you are able to observe yourself and be able to hear yourself, you then create what I call a Schrodinger type of situation where you impact your future before you get there. Meaning,
that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting because I don't think
people
listen to themselves at all. I think, I mean, maybe some people do, but I don't think the majority do. I don't even think they've heard that concept before of listen to yourself, listen to your brain,
mm-hmm.
and actually analyze what you are saying to yourself and and weighing it like on a justice scale, you know,
mm-hmm.
good, bad, you know. And
it's the most interesting thing.
That
it's
is
the most
very
interesting,
interesting
thing. Einstein. Yeah. Einstein was the person that figured out the relativity, the theory of relativity, which is energy and mass and the speed of light are all related in a mathematical way. And Schrodinger was the person that understood how atoms are affecting in quantum theory, meaning that if you observe an atom and you watch an atom, the fact that you observe it in itself, you change its properties simply because you're observing it. And it's how light interacts in how energy interacts in a system. So basically, this is the idea. If a child knows, let's say you're in a room and a child knows that you are watching the child, their response and their actions would be different if they thought that they weren't being watched at all. The fact is that when we have the ability to watch ourselves, when we have the ability to envision ourselves in the future, when we have the ability to actually listen to ourselves, what we want versus what we don't want, we have the ability to change our future and actually pick the future that we want to go to. Like, for example, in my case, I always knew I wanted to be a rocket scientist at the age of 6. I went to a field trip at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And when I went to a filter to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, I said to myself, I want to be just like those men I see launching rockets in the picture that's on the wall. And I didn't know how tough it was going to be. I didn't know how tough the next 20 years is going to be, 20 years. I had no idea. But that's what I said I wanted to do. And it was that constant reminder of seeing myself like those men who are launching rockets. It was that vision, that future is what literally the vision that I held on to that allowed me to pick situations in my life to help fulfill that particular destiny. When we can listen to ourselves and what we want.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
I showed this mathematically.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that, you know, I believe exactly what you're saying, but I also think that people know how to hang on to their good thoughts and their goals because of all the negativity that comes in and out of our brains, our minds, and then clouds it. And so I think that is this a way you have a system you have to practice?
It is a way that you have to learn. People don't necessarily know how to think that way. And in my program on AnswersUnleashed.com, I talk about how you can rewire your brain so you think that way. It's not something that's intuitive. And if it were, everybody would be successful.
Right.
It's something that's learned. When we can train our brain to think in a certain way and experience certain things and observe certain things and make adjustments on our course based on our observations and feel the drive that pulls us towards certain situations, that is when we find success. But if you don't know the way to think, if you don't know how to ask the questions of yourself, if you don't know how to visualize, if you don't know how to use a challenging situation to in your benefit, if you don't know how to overcome your fear, you will be stuck. in my first book, Mathophobia, I talk about how you can identify when you're experiencing fear. There's signs. You become Quincy the quitter, Donna the overdoer, Samuel the struggler, or Crystal the criticizer. And then in my second book, I talk about, it's true. And then in my second book, I talk about how when you go through a challenging situation, that's really a benefit to you, because the energy that gets you so angered in that challenging situation is the same to use to find the answer and really explode the meaning of your life. And in my third book is, now that you've now go getting through these challenging situations, how do you envision what you want in the future and start making decisions so you can use all these situations to get you there?
So let me ask you a question.
That's what I talk about.
Do you think that Katherine Johnson used those techniques and unleashed her brain to become a legend and even depicted in a movie, Hidden Figures, and you know, honored by with the presidential presidential medal?
My intuition. Now, mind you, Katherine Johnson died at the age of 101, and she lived a wonderful life, a very inspiring life. I'm 43, so I'm much younger, and my intuition tells me that Katherine Johnson was doing it so she could see a person like me do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. She was a pioneer.
Yes, she was.
And so, aren't her calculations still used by NASA to this day?
Oh, they're definitely used. NASA, it still uses the trajectory models in which Katherine Johnson used. She used geometric models as well as mathematical forecast models to determine exactly how the different speeds and curvatures of different planets would move for landing and for travel. Her trajectories gave us launch windows. Now, when we talk about launch windows, remember how we would see the countdown on TV when they go 10, 9, 8, and it had to be launched in a certain time? Well,
right.
Those are the launch windows that was formed by Katherine Johnson, and if it were not for her, we would not be able to launch.
Well, you know, there are there's more scientists and more women who have been pioneers, but they're unknown, they're hidden figures, and, you know, they aren't, you know, in the news every day or whatever. And so do you believe that it's the job of the United States educational institutions, technical giants, and media, I'm going to add the media, to find them and to write about them and talk about them and their achievements? And why do you think that's important?
Oh, it is to our critical importance that we create the next brilliant minds. Like, Katherine Johnson is a hidden figure, and she was a brilliant mind. I am now an exposing figure, and I love sharing my mind. You know, there are so many people like me, whether they be male, whether they be female, whether they be white, whether they be black, whether they be Indian, Asian, you name it. There are so many people out there, whether they be from a poor family or from complete wealth. There are so many people out there that have brilliant thinking, that have solutions. It is our job in the United States and even of other countries to find the next individuals who can help solve our global problems. These are the strategists that will figure out how to effectively convert, let's say, ocean water into drinking water for massive amounts of people in a safe way. It is the people who can find a way to take out the plastic from the ocean so we actually have a clean ocean to work in again. It is the individuals to find the mechanical way to pull the carbon out of the environment so we can actually have clean air again. These are the scientists that are waiting to be found, and it is our job as the United States, it is our job as as if you're in a large company like Google, like Boeing, Facebook, these individuals or these organizations, whatever the technical company be, it could be even an oil company. It could be Enron or Mobil or you name it. It's our job to cultivate and find these individuals because they can map out, if they're given the proper science education, they can create the solutions so our mankind can live centuries more.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that is very, very important to cultivate and to seek out the future generations who will live on to continue the work and preserve the environment and the oceans that we enjoyed for future generations to come. And I truly believe that, and then help the rest of the world who don't have to leave their countries to escape because their governments have suppressed, oppressed, and depressed their citizens and kept them from gaining that education that is needed in order to improve those nations. And so first we have to start at home before we can actually help other people so that we can say, hey, you know, we have the people now who can go into your country and help you have clean water and help you have the medical care you need. And you don't have to leave your countries. We can help you develop your own country so you can save your culture and your civilizations as well. You don't have to assimilate into other culture if you don't want to, if you love your country and you want to make it better. I think it's so important because there's smart people everywhere. They're just not, don't have the resources to that, you know, Western civilization has to do what we do here in this great country. And on that note, we have to wind it up, but I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to your interview on Katherine Johnson and your wonderful stories of how you became successful and achieved your goal as a child, and you're continuing on to help other people, adults and young people. Ben, you have speaking tours coming up. Why don't you tell us about your speaking tours that are coming up and also how they can find you on the website and how they can purchase your books?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I speak in my Answers Unleashed Live. Answers Unleashed Live tour is different keynotes that I give. It's like TED-like talks at organizations where I share how to reprogram your brain so you find these innovative answers. And it is from my books, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power. It's also from my first book, Mathophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fear and Become a Rocket Scientist. And it is my upcoming next book, Answers Unleashed 2, The Science of Attracting What You Want. And it's through your decisions, and your six decisions that you make using what I call the science of attraction. Now, I am very thankful because I have a couple of great talks coming up. And if you want to take a look at the other talks that I have, you're welcome to go to answersunleashed.com/live lectures. And in this live lecture series, I have all these different tips for you to use, and there's several different free shows that are on there, so you can watch that and take a look at it. And I'm going to be speaking April 30th at the Michigan Dental Association, and it's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's for over 1,000 medical professionals, so I'm thankful about that. On Thursday, July 9th, 2020, I'm going to be speaking to the Delta Kappa Gamma Society, and it's an international conference and keynote talk. This is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and that's for over 3,000 women leaders. And on Friday, October 2nd, 2020, I'm speaking at the Empowering Girls for Life Conference, the keynote, in Rosemont, Illinois, for over 2,000 young girls. And I go to different organizations to speak. For example, last year I went to the SAS Global Technology Forum, And that forum was for 6,000 leaders in artificial intelligence and data science. And these are the people that are our leaders in major organizations like Google, Facebook, different organizations and universities. So I go around, and if you're interested in having me speak at your location, go to answersunleashed.com, send me a message, or go to my main website, olympialapointe.com, send me a message, and I'll connect you with the people that send me out to these talks.
That's fantastic, and congratulations on all your success, and keep up the good work, Olympia LaPointe, because you are a great inspiration to all men and women both and young people. And I wish you much success in your lectures and in your work, and I hope to speak to you again in the future soon.
Oh, it is always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye. And Olympia LaPointe has left the building. And what a dynamic woman. What a great success story for all the young people out there, or anyone for that matter who's seeking a goal in their life. And maybe they want to change their careers. I mean, it's never too late. You can do whatever you want because Olympia will help you unleash your brain power. And you can be whatever you want and do whatever you want because you live in the greatest nation in the world, the United States of America. And on that note, we're going to leave authors and experts, and we'll be back in just a moment after this important message. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because we just left authors and experts, and we're entering into the issues of the day, which was my original cable television show in the 90s. The name of it, it was Issues of the Day and radio shows on AM, FM radio. And this particular article caught my eye. Schumer just threatened Supreme Court Justices Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, "You will pay the price." Didn't Schumer threaten the President of the United States and say that the deep state was coming after him? And if he continued on with his path to make America great again, or something to that effect, by Sarah Carter, and on her post, and it says, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer attended a Planned Parenthood rally Wednesday and openly threatened Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh just as the Supreme Court is hearing arguments about a law in Louisiana requiring abortion doctors to have admitting privileges to the state's local hospitals. Boy, the Democrats are really into killing babies and calling it legal because of the men in black robes since Roe versus Wade. And it has expanded into killing babies during pregnancy, killing babies at birth, killing babies after birth, which is called infanticide. In fact, the president that the majority voted for, I don't know about you, but the voting ballots were slipping in our county when I was voting in 2008, and they were punching Obama's name. I talked about it on the radio, but no one paid attention. And, of course, he won overwhelmingly. Nobody talked about those rigged voting machines. And nobody knew what to do about it, so they just ignored it at the polling place. And that was that. But people were complaining, and they were upset. But nobody did anything about it. So anyway, Obama voted for, as senator, abortion, late-term abortion, and infanticide, and everything else he voted present. But he voted for those. And he also approved secretly with Dianne Feinstein, Joe Biden, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and the CFR, and possibly other Democrats, to implement the Global Poverty Act secretly without disclosing it to the American people on or about December 2007. Before he decided to disclose that he was running for president of the United States. But prior to that, he was on video saying he wouldn't run for president of the United States because he wasn't experienced enough. So after they all approved of the Global Poverty Act, nobody knew about it because they never disclosed it. And then when he got elected was inaugurated and entered the Oval Office in about January 2009, he signed the Global Poverty Act under a different title, something about the Millennial Development something or other, and without disclosing that fact to the general public, which was worldwide mandated taxpayer-funded abortions to be. And it was required that the American people pick up the tab for worldwide abortions. And they particularly targeted Africa. And that's probably why you see so many Planned Parenthood facilities in the black communities. But now everybody appears to be on board because last year alone, they aborted 345,000 or more future Americans. They were natural-born Americans who were wiped out at birth or during pregnancy or after birth. Who knows? Because it's all done in this secret little rooms. And they are now using pregnant American girls and their babies as human commodities in a seamless assembly line for body parts and tissue and who knows, maybe blood sacrifice, who the heck knows anymore, and for possibly blood and possibly food, which they did in communist China because Planned Parenthood is a communist agenda. When you're killing your own citizens, your own children, during birth, at birth, and after birth, that is communism because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. That's why they destroy them. They burn them. They don't believe in morality because they can't. So these babies are just human commodities for experiments and for possibly food and for profit. And maybe blood sacrifice, I don't know. But it definitely isn't an American agenda. And it's evil. And imagine we have aborted 70 million Americans on a battlefield on U.S. soil, inside buildings called Planned Parenthood. We have killed more Americans, natural-born Americans, on U.S. soil than we have reports of military men killed on the battlefield since America was discovered. Just imagine that. 70 million Americans by abortion scissors. And now they want to impose this into hospitals, just anywhere, and call it legal. And force moral people, Christians, and moral people to consider this as normal. It's not normal. It's not normal to think that it's okay to use babies as human commodities for experiments, their body parts, their blood, their tissue, their DNA, or for food. That is not normal. That is evil. I am not politically correct. I will never be politically correct. I do not agree with Chuck Schumer. I will never agree with a Chuck Schumer. I will never agree with a Nancy Pelosi. How can you believe in God and call yourself a Christian or a Catholic and approve of killing 345,000 babies in just 1 year, last year, for profit? Anyway, the article goes on to say, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have unleashed a whirlwind, and you will pay the price, said Senator Chuck Schumer. You don't know what will hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. He just threatened the justices of the Supreme. It gives me chills. It makes me ill. That our Democratic Party has become the party of evil, the party of death panels for Americans only, as they protect the foreign foreign migrants who illegally enter our country are here as fake refugees who come to dominate our nation and make demands on the American people and live off our welfare system that will eventually bankrupt it. They no longer support we the people, the natural-born Americans. They have, under Obamacare, secretly inserted mandated taxpayer-funded abortions, mandated vaccinations, mandated dimitude, which is enslaving Americans to all they migrated from foreign enemy nations into the USA for the past 10 years, and mandated microchips. Then the Democrats who rubber-stamped Obamacare approved said they never read it. But then we know it's very difficult to get anyone in the Democratic Party to tell the truth. The article says that Representative Mark Meadows, Republican from North Carolina, questioned his threat on Twitter, saying, did Senate Democrat leader Schumer just threaten to conservative justice? Where is the media? Where are the sheriffs? Where is the Secret Service? Should we take Schumer's warning seriously? Well, why not? Maybe. Remember, it was Schumer who said in early 2017 that the intelligence community would target President Donald Trump when he questioned why his briefing on Russia's cyber attacks were delayed. And they did. They went after him with big guns. They went after anyone associated with him. And they threw him in jail. Or they threatened to throw them in jail. Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, said Schumer, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. And that's what he told to an MSNBC host, Rachel Maddow. Just look at what happened to Trump over the past 3 years and ask yourself this one question. Could the Democrats use similar tactics to make life for our Supreme Court justices just as difficult? What about their families? I think this is definitely serious, and I definitely find it very disturbing. Remember, even A.G. William Barr said he had been threatened. Why are people being threatened by the Democratic Party? Even their supporters threatened the president even the squad, Linda Sarsour from the Muslim Brotherhood. How is this happening in the United States of America? You better wake up. You better ask questions. You should call Chuck Schumer's office and ask him why he threatened the president and now the two U.S. justices on the Supreme Court. And tell him that you find that very disturbing. Well, wake up, America, because bad things can happen to good people who do nothing. And on that note, I must go. Talk to you next Wednesday with another special guest. Stay alert, stay vigilant, pray for Tennessee, fellow Americans, and pray for all Americans, and pray for the president, pray for the justices, pray for A.G. Barr, and pray for our nation.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.